thank God for giving us this Psalm 119, 176 verses written according to the Hebrew alphabet divided by 8 verses each. Now we are at 121 towards the more than the middle, about three-quarter way through the psalm. And verse 121 to 128 teaches us how we can grow in the Lord. We grow in the Lord by highly esteeming His word. When we have high regard for God's word in our lives, it becomes a direction that is set for us so that we may be able to walk the way of blessing that God has intended for us to live. You know, in the book of Genesis, when God created the universe, the emphasis was on planet Earth. And when God created the Earth, the emphasis was on man. Man was created last. You notice in the order of creation, God created all things, the most habitable earth, all the green plants, green herbs, and the living creatures in the sea, on land, in the air. And then finally, God created man in His image. And God said to man, be fruitful and multiply. And indeed, man multiplied upon earth. The question was asked, if Adam and Eve, God gave only Adam and Eve, and then two children, Cain and Abel, how is it that Cain was able to reproduce himself such that there is posterity and descendants coming from two? Well, the answer is this, that God gave the command for man to multiply. And you know the power of God's word that enabled Adam and Eve, by two persons, to multiply and populate the earth. That was what God said. Be fruitful and multiply and inhabit, populate the earth. And during those times, the earth was very different from the earth that we have now. It's like a greenhouse. The temperature within the earth was enveloped by a water canopy that protected the rays of the sun to come in, and it was a most habitable environment. The temperature was just nice for human existence, and there was a mist that came out of the earth to water the earth. A most beautiful paradise. And men lived to 800, 900 years. And during that time, you can imagine, you know, men of 50 years, well, he can have children, and with the kind of a condition that was on earth at that time, there is not that degeneration that we experience today. And therefore, the population through Adam and Eve was able to proliferate and fill the whole earth. And we see how God's word is so true. God's word is so correct. You can trust God in what He says, because He never lies, and whatever that He promises will come true. And therefore, although we were not there during the time when God created the earth, we are able, right, by taking hold of the truth that God revealed to us from Scripture, to know our origin, where we come from. And it gives us so much comfort, gives us so much strength to live our lives, because we know where we come from, and the Bible also tells us where we are going. However, we also said that we are living in a world that is fallen, a world that has fallen into sin. And this sin that has plagued the earth since the fall of Adam and Eve has caused a tension to be about the entire earth throughout the time since the fall of Adam and Eve. And the man of God lives in that kind of a tension between good and evil. Right? On the one hand, you have God and His ways, God permeating with His goodness, with His kindness, with His long-suffering, with His character. And on the other hand, you see the permeating of evil, man's pride, man's depraved, fallen, violent, hateful nature. So there is that conflict that is going on. And the psalmist is describing here that conflict. He says, I have done justice and judgment. Leave me not to mine oppressors. So he says that I'm living in a predative world. I'm living in a world where, if I'm not careful, I can be caught and I can suffer loss. And he's saying here that he has been careful. He says, I've done judgment and justice. He says that he has done what is right in the sight of God. God has told me, this is what I ought to do, this is what I'm doing. But there is an opposing, there is an oppressing force that comes contrary to the life that you have taught me to live. We said last week during our church camp how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. In high places, we are speaking about a spiritual warfare, and the psalmist is describing here, right, those times when he sought to walk with God, how he faces so much opposition. And he says to the Lord, please help me be surety for thy husband, for thy servant, for good. Undertake to help me. Undertake to cover me with your protection. Let not the proud oppress me. My eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Well, he's telling us that the environment that he lives in is quite hostile to the faith that he professes. And if you were to look at the life before the global flood, there was a man by the name of Enoch. The Bible described two Enochs. One Enoch was the son of Cain. He was, a city was built after his name, and he was described in Genesis chapter 4. But there is another Enoch that is described in Genesis chapter 5, the good Enoch, right? The Enoch who walked with God. Remember, and the Bible says that he was translated. He did not die a physical death, but he was taken up to heaven bodily. Right? The Bible says that he was translated, right, in the history of mankind. You see, there was this man, Enoch, and Elijah the prophet, who was taken by a chariot of fire directly to heaven bodily. They were facing great opposition to their faith, to their life, and it was a difficult environment that they were in. And the psalmist pleaded with God. He says in verse 24, "Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." He says, "I am thy servant. I serve you, Lord. Give me understanding that I may know your way." And he says that, you know, the contrary motion of the evil one is wreaking havoc all around. And I am reaching a point where it is so difficult for me. When Elijah was facing the opposition to God in Israel, there was idolatry in Israel, and the king Ahab married Jezebel. Jezebel was a foreign heathen princess who, by virtue of an unholy alliance, came into Israel. And she brought with her all the idol-worshipping prophets, Baal prophets, into Israel to pollute the way of God, to pollute the way of worship of the living and true God. And Elijah was faced with a great challenge. In fact, he was faced with the greatest challenge in his life. It was the scene at Mount Carmel, you remember? And it was there that the forces of evil came against God and his testimony. And unless God would show forth his power, the Baal prophets will take over Israel, and all the people were watching. Who is the living and true God? God must manifest himself. And for all of us who come to know God, in one way or another, God manifests his power, God manifests his presence in our lives to authenticate his word so that we know who we are trusting. We know who we are following. We know that with him, right, come what may, there is always a way out. His power is above all powers. And we have that confidence. And therefore, during that time, Elijah was faced with that battle. Battle with the 450 Baal prophets. And you remember, they were challenging Elijah, and how God sent fire from heaven directly to come down to earth and to the offering that Elijah has erected as an altar for the living God. Whereas the Baal prophets, they chant and they perform all their rituals for a whole half day, nothing happened. But when Elijah, the prophet, asked, "Lord, you have to work," fire came down from heaven and the people all saw the power of God. That is verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Right, today, we see this happening all around us. The very institution of humankind, the family, the husband and wife combination of a family, the order that God has created is being distorted. And this attack, I would call it, upon the order that God had created for mankind is so acute that we may say, like what the psalmist say, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. The Lord must return. The Lord must come back and put in order his house. This is his earth. Right? This is the earth that God has created. Right? Jesus Christ. Right? It's Genesis, John 1 verse 3 tells us. What does John 1 verse 3 tell us? It says here, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is the Creator here. And the Creator who has made all things, and the creation has lost its order, the Creator must set the order, return the right order. And therefore, the Bible tells us that Christ must return. And it is time, we said, for thee, Lord, to work. This rebellion against the family structure, when is it going to end? How is it that it is overturning society? And we said, for they have made void thy law. We all know that for a next generation of men and women to come, it must be a man with a woman, not a man with a man or women with a woman. Right? Society would be wiped out in one generation. Precarious. So the psalmist says, it's time for thee, Lord, to work. And we say this too, Lord, please set your order right, for they have made void thy law. And he says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. The world may go its way, but I'm going to continue in your way, despite the opposition, despite the contrary motion. He says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. This must be the kind of conviction that we have towards the truth of God's word. And it must cost us to order our lives rightly. And how can we do so? Well, we have to highly esteem God's word in our lives. Verse 129, the psalmist says that we are to grow to order our steps in his word, and that is found in 133, the verse says, order my steps in thy word, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He says, order my steps. It's the heart cry of the psalmist. This is the only way. And he cannot cry, help crying, testifying. He says, rivers of waters run down my eyes. His heart is heavy, filled as it is with grievances and hurt from the hard knocks received in a fallen world. He says, how can these evildoers get away, disobeying God's law? Will they really get away? We know that oppressors will not get away because God sees and He knows. The people of Israel who were in Egypt were oppressed by the Egyptian system. And what did they do? Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, tells us that they cried out to God because of the servitude, because of the oppression that they faced. Verse 23 says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage, and God heard their groaning. You see, when you choose to live your life according to God's word, according to the blessing that God would want you to have, and you face difficulties, you can cry out to God. And our text tells us that God hears. This is what the psalmist is saying to us, right? That we who have a living relationship with God, a vibrant relationship with God in our lives, whatever problems that we face in life, you can call out to Him, and you can bring your burdens to Him, and He has the ability to resolve it for you. I remember while in the workplace, during a certain day, usually a Monday, me and another my colleague would gather together, and we would take a bit of time to read through a devotion, and then we would write down the problems that we are facing at work. This and this and this and this, and we would pray. And without fail, our testimony is that God always answers our prayer. Many times the problem seems so overwhelming, so great. But as we sought the Lord in prayer, as we seek the Lord for solution, as we come to God, wow, we see, you know, God answers prayers. The big problem becomes small problem and no problem. How is it so? Well, because we have a great problem-solving God. And when we call out to Him, well, we find relief. So when Israel was in the Exodus, or before the Exodus, in Exodus chapter 2, they were crying out to God. Before that, what happened in the earlier chapter? Well, we saw God causing a baby to flow down the river Nile. Right? The baby Moses. He is going to be the deliverer for Israel. And how he was flowing down the Nile River 80 years ago, right, before this passage, before the children of Israel were crying out to God. God already knew what they will face in a sin-filled, depraved world. And God already prepared in advance your deliverance. So our God is a God of great wisdom and planning to the minutest detail. So 80 years before, God caused this man to be born, taken out of the river and brought to the palace of Pharaoh so that he would learn all the wisdom and understanding of the Egyptians. And then God would prepare him in the backside of the wilderness for another 40 years. And when we begin Exodus chapter 3, what happens? Well, God would call Moses out of the burning bush to deliver Israel. God heard the groan of the people, and he remembered that we belong to him. When you call upon Jesus Christ and you have repented of your sins, you become a child of God, and the Spirit of God come and indwell you and fill you, God also has marked you out as his children. And therefore, as the father to the children, God will always take care of your needs, will always take care of all that you take care of all that you face in life, all the things that comes in life that causes you to become sad. Well, he is there for you. And so the psalmist says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, verse 135, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes. We said earlier, rivers of, like a river glorious, is God's perfect peace. When we have God with us, when we seek God, the rivers of waters, the tears will be turned to solace and peace. And that is something very real, something very tangible in the life of God's people. And we must take hold of the truth of the efficacy of prayer. That's what the psalmist is saying to us. We have a God who is very active, very concerned about what we are going through, and he wants us to trust him for your protection. And we said earlier in our camp, how God gives to us the Lord's Prayer. How the Lord's Prayer covers every aspect of life. When we would pray the Lord's Prayer, you'll find God protecting us all over, all aspects of our life. He tells us about putting him first in our lives, how to exalt his name. Right? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. To remember that we are not living in a world that is going to go on infinitely, but God is going to come and judge the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. While we see God's purpose fulfilled, we are still earthbound. And we have our daily needs. And the Lord, our Lord Jesus says, please call out to me for your daily need. And God manifested it to the Israelites in the wilderness, right? Manna came down every day, on the sixth day, two portions, so that on the Sabbath day they are able to rest. When you trust in God to take care of your life, he will take care of you, your livelihood. He will take care of all of you. Forgive me my trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Right? How we can find forgiveness with God, and how God gives us the ability to forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. Do you pray this prayer to ask God to shield you, make a way out of any temptation, and to protect you from evil? Do you pray this for your children? Well, for the psalmist, These are some things that he plead with God. How, albeit he plead with prayer, with tears in his eyes. He knew how precarious certain situations his family may be in. And he intercede on their behalf at the throne of grace for God to make a way for them. And this was the, this is the way of faith. This is the way of righteousness. This is the way forward with God. We can always come to God and ask for mercy. The mercy of God is never exhausted. We can always count on Him to help us. And so the psalmist grew to order his steps in the Lord. How did he order his steps in the Lord? Well, by depending on the Lord for his life. There is that vibrant relationship that we have with God. If you know Him, when you know Him and when you are connected with Him, somehow all of life just move smoothly. It's not here, you see, in the psalmist's life, there is not an absence of trouble. But he was full of, there were full of problems around him, all over him. But there is a calmness, there is a strength that he has because of the relationship he has with God. Even when his enemies surround him, he says that my God can deliver me. How powerful, he says, is my God. Very powerful. Growing to delight in his word. He says in verse 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. He says that many times he was faced with severe testing. When all the human helpers around him seem to have failed, no one he can turn to. Have you faced those moments before when you are at your wit's end, you don't know where to turn? Well, sometimes God allows us to reach that stage of need so that we would turn no other way but look up. And when we look up, you'll find that, you know, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the help from God is poured down from on high for your need. And we all need to be reminded how we need to move in close connection with our God. Oftentimes, when God would prosper us, we have that tendency to forget that our prosperity come by the mercy of God. The goodness that we receive that comes from our God. And we must not forget Him. When we become complacent, when we start to think, you know, that we can manage, that's when we begin to fall. And so the Lord gives the psalmist a right attitude. He says in verse 141, I am small and despised. He knew his position before God. We need to know our position before God. That indeed we are such puny, tiny creatures, you know, in a whole vast universe, and how vulnerable, how weak we are. You look at the human body. how one small part can malfunction and the entire body can break down immediately. And how is it that the entire body is functioning well without problem? Have you thought who it is that is sustaining you, that you are able to come for prayer meeting, that you are able, you know, to sit down quietly and meditate upon God's word? Have you, you know, have we forgotten how we are so wonderfully created? Oftentimes, it is like that with us. We are a forgetful people, and we forget. And the Lord had to send us trouble. The Lord has to send us anguish, in the sense that the Lord allow us to go through trials so that we won't depend on our own strengths. That is who we are. Lost sheep. Isaiah the prophet says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has gone his own way. And how sad it is. But God always draws us back. And oftentimes he has to draw us back through adversity. Something happened to us. Then we start to be shaken, to be awakened to the presence of God in our life. Have we been neglecting him? Have we been forgetting him? Have we not been connecting with him? Have we not been living according to what he would want us to live? And so there is that searching, and the trouble that comes in our lives, well, there are times it's because we have gone wayward. And God deals his chastisement upon us so that we may come back to him. Or it could be not because of sin, but that God is trying us so that our faith can become stronger. In the midst of the testing, we would draw close to God. We would have new experience of a new closeness with God. It is during those times of adversity that you call out to God. You know that, wow, no way out already. You know, just like Israel in Egypt, no way out. God doesn't hear, we are in trouble. He tells us to make bricks, but he doesn't want to give us any straw to make the bricks. So how can we make the bricks? Impossible. And if I don't make it, you would torture me. Wow, it's a bad deal. How to move forward? God has to work. And indeed, God sent deliverance. And the people appreciated when they see and the manifestation of God's power in our lives. And so we continue this study. This is part 6, preparation for hard time. Why do we say that? Well, because you never know when a trial will come. And unless we are equipped with the spiritual wherewithal to find strength to stand during the time of testing, it can be very, very tough. So may the Lord prepare us while we have time to meditate upon his word, to find strength and wisdom, so that we may know, right, in any situation that comes in life, you have encountered this before in the Word of God. God in his Word has provided you a solution. I've learned that before. I know what is the way out. Because I've been diligent, I've not neglected my quiet time, I've not neglected to pray, I've not neglected the assembling of ourselves together. May the Lord grant strength to His people to walk with Him. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in granting us strength to follow Thee. Lord, I pray that Thou be gracious to grant to us Thy very presence to strengthen, keep us for Thy own mercy's sake. Lord, this I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.